When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. You know, I know it can be hard to believe, but I'm getting a little older. Yeah, I'm 58. Pretty good shape. Pretty good shape. Thank you very much. I think you're sexy, too. But the blood pressure's a little high, so my doctor's got me a strict regimen to lower my stress level. 8 hours of sleep, stay hydrated, and do not be president of the United States. Evidently, a bit of a stressful job. That's why it is so important that the commander-in-chief stay healthy. So today, Joe Biden had his annual physical, okay? It was a clean bill of health, although his x-ray did reveal several classified documents. Gotta look everywhere. Gotta look everywhere. Next, colonoscopy. The presidential physical, it's pretty thorough. They do a colonoscopy, blood tests, and as part of the dental exam, Biden pulls Air Force One with his teeth. Physicians said they'd be checking out Biden's eyes, hearing, and anything else he may complain about. Anything else he may complain about, the man is 80 years old. I hope you packed a lunch. Okay, Mr. President, just a recap here. Your left knee tingles before it rains. How come the clock on my phone doesn't tick? They don't put real butter on the popcorn at the movie theaters anymore. And the diner's charging twice what they used to for a nice plate of scrod. Got it. Now, here's the thing. We don't have the full results yet, but we do know that the president tested positive for old AF. Because Biden is the oldest president ever, setting a new record every morning. Yes. Every day he wakes up. A new record. That's impressive. Every day he wakes up, there's a guy from the Guinness Book with a plaque that reads, "Still alive." And Biden's age, you know, it's just a number, but it is important because he's expected to announce a re-election bid soon, so his advisors have a plan to keep him looking spry. Reportedly, they want to focus on events that play up the president's vitality, which is why Biden will be the keynote speaker at this year's Shamblepalooza. Sponsored by Velcro Shoes. To ease his load, Biden will likely be getting some help on the campaign trail. One advisor says that if he runs in 2024, there will be a range of surrogates that show the diversity of the party all across the ages, from Maxwell Frost to Bernie Sanders. Yes, Bernie Sanders, because nothing says, "I'm not old," like trotting out a guy 1 year older.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, listen. I'm telling you, I'm here to urge you to vote for that limber young whippersnapper, Joe Biden. Turn down the bebop, Joe. Stop doing the Charleston. There, I did your little speech. Now, where's my soup?
But it might be hard to get voters to ignore the ravages of time, because according to CNN, voters bring up Biden's age constantly in focus groups using words like brain dead and mush. Come on. What are you doing? Never say mush around an 80-year-old man. He'll just get hungry and dinner's not till 3. But Biden doesn't want anyone. I'm just thinking about how much Joe Biden loves these jokes. That's what I'm thinking right now. But Biden doesn't want anyone thinking he's too old for the job, which is why aides say his reaction to seeing news mentions of his age is to do a little jog in or out of his next public event, and that overall, he doesn't want to be a grandpa, he wants to be a bro. Okay, here we go. Come on, let's go. Right, here we go. Right, here we go. Okay. Hey. Sup? Sup, fam? I'm Brosef Biden. Caps on backwards. You peep my vibe? Let's buckle on our leather helmets, toss around the medicine ball, go for a little jog. Here we go. Okay, come on, let's go. Oh, heck. Oh, heck, that pigeon's passing me. Come here, you roughneck ruffian. Now. Speaking of health, ever since Sam Alito and the bench bunch overturned Roe v. Wade, Republicans all across the country have been looking for ways to track and restrict abortion. It being private, that's not an easy task, but one thing they've been targeting is apps that help track menstrual cycles. Recently, the Virginia State Senate passed a bipartisan bill to keep law enforcement from being able to access these apps, which seems reasonable, which is why it's being opposed by Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, seen here not realizing he forgot to take off his picnic napkin before the speech. Yesterday, Youngkin blocked the bill that would ban police from seeking menstrual histories. That's a clear invasion of privacy. The only person who should know when someone is menstruating is that person and the woman she makes discreet eye contact with before exchanging a tampon, then going on to win the lacrosse game. I only know what I see in commercials. Staffers for the governor claim he killed the bill because it threatened the ability of law enforcement to investigate crime. Yes, oh yes, there's a lot of menstrual crime in this country. You can see it all in the new hit CBS drama, NCPMS. I'm sorry, who is in that? Gary Cole? Gary Cole is in that? Good to see him getting work. Ben Gazzara? This February 24th will mark 1 year since Vladimir Putin thought he could take Ukraine in 3 days. And a year later, he's losing just as hard as ever. In fact, a new estimate says that since the war started, Russia has likely lost more than half its tanks. I assume that means destroyed, because it's got to be hard to lose a tank. Damit Vasily, was it level F or level G? It's not just military supplies that are dwindling, because we learned yesterday that due to economic sanctions from the West, Russia's Viagra supply has been cut off. So even the tanks that they still do have look like this. Russia's, wow, they did a slide. The tanks have a slide. I didn't know. Russia does have a plan, though. The Kremlin is now scrambling to commission generic erection pills. In fact, the Russian government says they already have one in development. Warning, is potato. Of course. Thank you. Of course, there's plenty of crises right here in America at home. You see, on February 3rd, there was a horrific train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, that is potentially one of the worst environmental disaster in the nation's history. When this Norfolk Southern freight train derailed, it spilled 1.1 million pounds of something called vinyl chloride, an incredibly toxic carcinogen, which is also highly explosive. So as a safety measure, Norfolk Southern did what they called a controlled burn. And this is what they call control. Even worse, there were other dangerous chemicals in the spill, but Norfolk Southern didn't release the full list until over a week later on Sunday, February 12th. They released the list on Super Bowl. They were clearly trying to bury it, because the only list of dangerous chemicals you want to read during the Super Bowl is on the side of your Doritos bag. That's what makes the ranch so cool. Now, 5 days after the derailment, people were told it was safe to go home despite residents complaining of trouble breathing, noxious smells, nausea, and headaches. Ohio officials are trying to get folks to come back home, reassuring residents that the air in East Palestine remains safe to breathe. Yes, pay no attention to your lying lungs. The tingling means the air is working. Now, in response to all this devastation, the folks over at Norfolk Southern offered $25,000 to the town. That's the whole town. East Palestine, Ohio has about 5,000 residents. That's $5 per person. Tell you what, sorry for turning your town to a lifeless hellscape. You know what might help? A footlong at Subway. There you go. Sensing that may be not enough, Norfolk Southern is now offering residents $1,000 inconvenience checks. Really? You call this an inconvenience? That's like giving survivors of the Titanic a reimbursement for dampness. Norfolk Southern, I think I speak for everyone when I say, Norfolk you. We got a great show for you tonight.
More Late Show Pod Show after this.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Folks, if you watched the show or my last show or followed my career, you know that I am a Roman Catholic and Lent is right around the corner. And as a Catholic, you're supposed to give up something that's kind of a daily treat, which means that this year, I may have to give up talking about New York Representative George Santos. Because, and, it feels like every day we learn a new outrageous lie from the congressman. He falsely claimed to have Jewish ancestry, said he was a star volleyball player at the college he never attended, claimed he had a role on Hannah Montana and was a producer on the disastrous Spider-Man musical. And now there are also legal concerns like the fact that his campaign has $365,000 in unexplained expenses and that he was once charged with stealing puppies from Amish dog breeders. Now, listen. I know that sounds really bad, but it's important to remember, it is. Now, some of you may be asking, Steve, is George Santos sorry about any of this? Well, that answer may confuse you.
Are you sorry?
I've said I was sorry many times. I've behaved as if I'm sorry. When you ask, oh, you have not shown remorse or you don't seem to look sorry, I don't know what looking sorry looks like.
Evidently, looking sorry is not one of the classes they teach at Imaginary Volleyball University. Well, given his growing mountain of lies, ongoing investigations, and flagging Republican support, who knows how long he can stay in office? Here to tell us how long he can stay in office, New York Congressman George Santos. Congressman Santos, thank you for joining us again.
It's great to be back on your show, Hannah Montana.
I'm not... Okay. Congressman, I'm surprised you agreed to be here since you tweeted out how upset you were with people impersonating you on late night shows.
Of course I'm upset. Do you know how hard it is to turn on the TV and see an actor playing George Santos who is not only more believable than you are, but also way more attractive?
That must be hard. Now, sir, since we last talked, you were essentially forced to step down from all your committee assignments. What have you been doing with your time?
Oh, so much. I gave the State of the Union address, shot down those spy balloons, and performed at the Super Bowl halftime, where I revealed that I'm pregnant.
Mazel tov?
What's that? I don't speak Jewish.
Well... To that point, you've admitted to fabricating some of your backstory, but you never seem to show enough remorse about it.
Oh, come on, Stephen. What does sorry even look like? Is it this? Or this? Or maybe this?
It's not those. Congressman, I want to ask you a question about your personal life.
Which one?
Exactly. You see... Yesterday, the House was asked to investigate your 7-year marriage to a Brazilian woman under the suspicion that that marriage was just a sham for her to get her green card.
Well, as we say in volleyball, that's a yellow card.
Really? You say it like Mario? You say that? Congressman, listen, I understand your confusion because you now claim to be married to a man, but the thing is, you've never been seen with that man, whoever it is, and you never wear a wedding ring. So what exactly is your marital status?
Oh, Stephen, Stephen, Stephen. How dare you ask me that on my wedding day?
Who are you marrying now?
I don't know. I just wanted to register so I can get this air fryer. These things are truly bulky. See? They're bulky to steal.
Congressman, at this point, even some Republicans are backing away from you. Aren't you worried about facing some sort of House ethics investigation?
Bring on the ethics investigation. They won't find anything.
Really? No wrongdoing?
No. No ethics.
Okay. Well, I believe that. There you go. I believe that, especially considering the criminal charge that you stole puppies from an Amish dog breeder.
Ugh, more lies from the Amish media. I never stole any puppies.
But there is clear evidence. There are multiple checks with your name on them to the Amish dog breeder. How can you possibly claim to be innocent?
Oh, I have two Wiwo eyewitnesses right here. That's why. Who's gonna testify for me, huh? Stolen puppy number one, you're stolen puppy number two.
Okay, I see what you're doing, though. Those are very adorable.
Oh, thank you. Do you want them? You can have them for $365,000. I'll even throw in an air fryer.
I don't need an air fryer.
No, I mean, give me the money or I'll throw them in the air fryer.
Okay, Louise, you know what? I'm sorry I ever asked you on, and I personally do not see how you could possibly bounce back from all of this controversy.
Easy, Stephen, with a big musical number for my Broadway show, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Hit it!
Don't hit it, Louise!
No, still hit it, Louise! Oh, Spider-Man, where the lights go, turning off the light.
Representative Santos, everybody, be right back with the Reverend Al Sharpton.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to The Late Show, folks. My first guest tonight has spent his entire life fighting for civil rights. He's now the subject of a new documentary, Loudmouth.
You don't have none of us under control.
That was Howard Beach. It felt like a victory, but you knew that you won a case, not changed the system. I'd been in the movement since 12, and I knew the difference between moments and movements that won. So it was a good momentary victory.
Please welcome Reverend Al Sharpton. Reverend, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you again. It's been a long time. You're talking in that quote, in that little clip we just saw there, about momentary victories and ongoing battles, the difference between the two of those. I know you just came back from Florida, from an event down there, protesting the attempts to ban Black history from classrooms in Florida. Do you have a message for DeSantis and others who are trying to control that curriculum?
Well, I think that if we are to have the country to become the nation that it proposes to be, we need to know everybody's history. And we need to celebrate everybody's history and not censor it. And what the governor is trying to do there, Governor DeSantis, is he's trying to use a cultural war to run for president. Us against them. I'm going to do this to the LGBTQ community. I'm going to do this with women's rights. I'm going to fly migrants out of Florida and send them to Martha's Vineyard. I'm going to decide what makes whites uncomfortable in black history. Rather than saying the more we learn about the truth about all of us, it brings us all together. It's supposed to be the United States. But he thinks because his mentor and political daddy, Donald Trump, used race to go into politics. Because don't forget, Donald Trump started with birtherism, that right. Obama was not one of us. He's trying to use the race wedge. So baby Trump, that you call DeSantis, is trying to use Black History Month to go and run for president. And some of us are saying that our history is too important to us to let that happen. Well,
are you surprised, again, talking about momentary victories and ongoing battles, are you surprised that in this case, critical race theory, or CRT as it's abbreviated, is just being used as sort of a catch-all for anything that people don't like on the farthest right reaches of the Republican Party. Everything gets dumped in there, is used as a byword for divisiveness. Are you surprised that it's being used as quite such a cudgel?
I think that I'm not as surprised as I am trying to make sure we dramatize it. That's what's happening. That's why we did the march yesterday, the rallies, we'll be doing others. Because I think that there are, the surprise I think they have is that many people of different communities are now beginning to come together. I remember when George Floyd happened and I went to do the funerals and work with the family on some of the rallies and marches. I went to some rallies, there were more whites than blacks saying that this is wrong. I remember that there was a young white 17-year-old young man in a place called Beebe, Arkansas, that was killed by police. His family called me and attorney Ben Crump to come in. Ben Crump became the lawyer for the family. I preached his funeral. They don't put that on right-wing news. I won't call their name because I don't advertise on your platform my adversaries.
Mm-hmm. No free rides, I believe you call it.
No free rides, though, even though you and I are going to have to talk about me having to come out after Congressman Santos. But that's another time. but I think that people are coming together more than they would have ever felt, which is why Joe Biden beat Trump. Not because of a Democrat, because people don't want the division. People around America don't agree with me on everything. But they agree we all need to talk and deal with these issues. And I think that they have overplayed their hands in terms of this divisiveness. Trump was president for 4 years, and it was always playing this polarization. And I think people are sick and tired of that.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Al Sharpton, everybody. Stick around.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned, speaking at George Floyd's funeral, you also spoke at Tyree Nichols' funeral. You also spoke at Alton Sterling's funeral, Eric Garner, Dante Wright. Those of us who are not intimately involved, don't know the families, who are not there, can look at this and feel inured to the horror of it after a while. How do you stay connected to any kind of hopeful message that you can bring to those who are in pain? Some sort of way to, in a fresh way, to soothe the battered souls of those who suffer because of this kind of brutality. How do you keep that eulogy honest?
You know, it is hard because you say to yourself, here we go again. And you say to yourself, what can I say? And then the answer becomes that you need to go and encourage them to give meaning. You can't give the life back of their loved one. But you can say we need to fight to make sure this does not continue to happen. And because these families didn't ask to become public figures. I chose what I do. I love what I do, feel I was called to do it. They didn't. So, you know, I tell my daughters all the time, I ask God in my prayer. I'm very much still a preacher. Don't look at me like that. You should be praying too. But
every day.
All right, all day, every day. And I said, why does this keep happening? And one day a minister said to me, God answered your prayer. He said, what's that? He said, God asked, I should be asking you, why does it keep happening? When are y'all going to stop it? God's not going to come down and stop us from doing these things. We have to do it. And that's what gives me the strength to go to these funerals and say, we need to look at this and fight to stop this. And these families have helped us to do that. So George Floyd happened. People have marched all over the world. We couldn't get the George Floyd Federal Act through, Justice Policing Act through the Senate, got it through the House of Representatives. But President Biden signed an executive order, which is all Lincoln did with Emancipation Proclamation. So there's some incremental steps. Being that I grew up being trained by people in the Civil Rights Movement, it took from the bus boycott of Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King in 55 to 64 to get a Civil Rights Act. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. Look how long gays had to fight to get respected with LGBTQ rights. So if you're looking for a quick dash and a hashtag and to build your social media, you should not be in the movement. You got to be in it for the long run.
Let's get to this documentary about you called Loudmouth. Do you like that title for that
documentary? I'll be honest. Kedar Massenburg, used to be president of Motown Records, came to me and said, there's a young white director named Josh Alexander, who I've talked to, and I believe he's sincere, wants to do a documentary on you. And he said, John Legend, the entertainer, said he'll be the executive producer. They want to study how media has treated you from when you started in your teen years in the 80s all the way till now that you are at a different kind of place in American psyche. He said, but three things I want to tell you before you agree. I said, okay, what is that? He said, one, you have no editorial control. You have no right to put in or take out anything. Two, the director, young white guy from San Francisco, Josh Alexander, he's going to direct it. You can't choose a different director. And three, we're going to call it Loudmouth. So I said, I can live with the first two. Let me think about the other. And I called him the next day. I said, you know what? Many of the civil rights guys before me, Martin Luther King, others, came from the South, where you could do a rally, pass out flyers, and make an issue in your town. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. We had to compete with Broadway lights, Times Square, Broadway plays. Something happening all the time. You had to be loud in New York. You had to do outrageous stuff to get attention. And then once you got the attention, then you could focus on the issue and you had to know how to deal with it in a way that you could lead to change. So, yeah, call it Loudmouth so people could understand why I was loud. So people used to talk about, oh, I remember him in track suits and loud. That's how we were able to get a lot of the issues down. And I wore track suits because a lot of times we'd march, we'd end up getting arrested. I wasn't going to wear my good suit to jail.
The documentary Loudmouth premieres on BET and VH1 on the 25th. Reverend Al Sharpton, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.